believe and receive. I don't really have just what you call a laid out message. I think I have the right direction that we're supposed to go or whatever. But how many knows God, he wants out the box. I don't know about y'all, but I am so sick of religion. I'm just so sick of it. And what I mean by that, what religion is, I'm not talking about like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I'm talking about people that they love God and they want God in manifestation of his spirit or whatever. But how many know sometimes you're just not there yet. That's like God is. If God has moved over the years at different times and done great things here or whatever, but I don't want to come to a service where I already know everything that's going to happen. And I'm not talking about because God revealed it to me. I'm talking about we come to church, you know, I do Sunday school, or Monty does Sunday school, Travis sings three songs, Scotty does a preaching, and we're all clapping, we go back out the door. Now, it's good, but I want him more. I want him in manifestation and demonstration, and I don't believe it's only me that wants him that way. I believe he wants to be that way. So this morning, I felt like, y'all remember the song that I come and I told y'all that night? I think it was on a Wednesday night. That God gave me that song, and he talks to me a lot with songs or whatever. I believe I can fly. It's time to fly. You might say, well, how are we going to do that? Believe. There's no other way you can fly. Because, see, this is God's movie, but in order to be all that God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do, it all has to be done by faith, and that's what I mean by it's time to fly. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's trained us. And for a lot of us, we're not operating in the faith of God that we have already. Now, we talked about, I think, a couple of weeks ago, how that if you got faith, you got to have what? Y'all don't know? James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. Being alone. It's good to have faith in your heart. That's your starting point. You get the word, you get faith in your heart. But then faith has to be released, either with your words or by your deeds, your actions. So if you don't release it, it just lays there. It's dead. It doesn't serve its purpose or anything. So this morning we're going to fly. And God brought me this song yesterday. I heard this song, a certain part of this song, from the time I woke up yesterday morning until I got back home from giveaway. And I was reminded of it this morning. So Beth, if you'll go ahead, play the song, please. Y'all, just look over me if I start dancing, that's okay. They did it in the Bible, right? Well, whatever's in the Bible is what we want.
Drive by, T-Mac on the radio. Got
your wood is wet, bad wet. I'm telling you, I went out there, Scotty got the wood heater going. I went out there and opened the door of the wood heater, and I'm just standing there, you know, it's warm right there in that one spot. And I got my phone going, and he comes out, and I mean, I'm doing like this. If you don't praise the Lord at home, it's going to be hard for you to praise him here. Because the devil tells you, don't do that. Don't say that. They're going to think you're weird. Who gives a rip? I mean, for real. I was reminded this morning when I first started dating Scotty. Him and his family did not have a very good reputation with people. I mean, it's like a litter of puppies. I mean, you just got so many kids, you know, and their family, you know, his mom and dad, you know, they always had to work and did fields, and his mama did a lot of cafe work and different stuff like that. So the way their family worked, the mom and dad raised the older, but then the older raised the younger. I mean, he tells me stories, you know, about his older sisters, you know, they had to carry water. They had no running water, so they had to carry water from the branch. And he said, they didn't heat it either. They put you in that bathtub, and they dumped it on your head, soaked you up, and dumped it back. He cannot stand cold water to this day. There's a reason for me telling you all that. They was very poor. They was probably the poorest family that I ever personally knew myself or whatever. So it wasn't popular back in my day to date a Weston. You know, they was looked down upon because, I mean, they're rough and different stuff like that, you know, and all kinds of stuff. But when I was thinking about it, that did not matter to me. It didn't matter what anybody said. It didn't matter the stories that people told my mom and them, that they told me and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because I loved him. We had absolutely nothing. Sleep in the back seat of the car. Oh, but we're sucking each other's air. It's the most glorious thing. You know, it's the same way when you love God. You can get so in love with him and spend so much time with him to where he is your every waking thought, your every heart's desire. And when he's like that, it's like you and him just walk together all day. Wherever you go, you don't care what people think about you. You don't care and you can fly. Anything that he tells you to do, you can do it. Anything he says he's promised you, you can have it, right? In light of that song, I looked up the scriptures this morning that goes with that song. According to 1 John 5:4, Beth, would you put it on the screen, please? It says, for whatsoever, and I always thought that strange. I would have said whosoever, but hey, God's smarter than me. It says, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? That's how we fly. That's how we overcome. Because in God, he's already won the victory, right? Christ has already been crucified, buried, rose from the grave, gave us the keys to the kingdom, gave us victory and all that. But like the song says, you got to stay in the fight. The only reason you will ever lose is because you either didn't engage in the fight or you got out of the fight. Because according to God's word, we fight till we win, right? Because the victory's already been provided. Then the other one is Romans 8:37, please. It says, nay, in all these things we are what? Oh, baby, we're not just a conqueror. The Bible says right there, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Never in ourselves, never in our own strength. Like that scripture that Sandy spoke to me that day here at church, and then Brother Brad about Zerubbabel. He said, not by power, right? It's not by, we cannot do nothing in our own power, our own strength. Not by power, not by might, but how? By his spirit. There's nothing that you cannot do with the spirit of God. Absolutely nothing. I mean, when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I mean, you got workings of miracles. Do you notice what I said? Workings of miracles. That's an awesome thing. That's like when we got through praying yesterday out there in the foyer before we went out to tote the boxes and stuff. I tried to remind people, you know, be believing. Be believing for signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? They don't happen if you don't believe. Gosh, y'all way too quiet. This should be stirring up on the inside of us, edifying us, strengthening our faith. So therefore, we release it. You know why a lot of times nothing happens here? Because we don't expect nothing to happen here when we get here. I'm not saying everybody. I know sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't feel good, or maybe somebody's talking to me about something, or whatever the case might be. I'm not always believing 100% every time I walk in that door for God to do signs, wonders, and miracles in the services. But we should be. That's like Scotty when he says, y'all ready to have church? Are you believing? What are you believing? Everybody in here says, yeah. What are you believing, Sandy? God to show up. What's that mean? What's that mean? What's it mean to you, Travis? What's it mean to you? The believing. When we come here, what do you believe God to do? Huh? Show himself real? Let's go over there right now while we on this. 1 Corinthians 12. I think that's at the last part of my message, ain't it, Beth? Oh, I just work here. And that's the best thing, just work here. Well, before I read that, let me read. I read this one last time I was up here, but it's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. And this is in the Amplified Version. It says, what then, brethren, is the right course? Now, you got to back up from that verse to understand what he's talking about. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and this 14, he was trying to set the church in order because these people have got the gifts. I mean, they got prophesying. They got speaking in tongues. I mean, all this stuff, right? And he's trying to get them to put it in order because God is not a God of chaos. It wouldn't be good if we come in here and everybody's prophesying at the same time and people speaking in tongues and there's no interpret. There would be no edification of that. So that's what he's done here. Is those chapters before trying to set the church in order. He says, what then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, that would be us, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a disclosure of special knowledge or information, an utterance in a strange tongue or an interpretation of it, but let everything be constructive and edifying and for the good of all. Now go over to 1 Corinthians 12. King James Version. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit, right? If you go somewhere or somebody's doing something in here, you might not understand what they, understand what they're doing or whatever, but you understand and know the Spirit, right? I mean, if somebody stands up in church and gives out a message in tongues and somebody does an interpretation or somebody just stands up and gives something out in the Spirit or whatever, I'm talking about in your own language or whatever, and it's like this, that's not him. You understand what I'm telling you? That's not him. Why do we need to know this? Because he wants to do this. He wants every time we gather here together, he wants to be here in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost, just like he was. Listen, the latter church should not be lesser than the first church, right? The first church started in the book of Acts, and we're still the church. We're still in the book of Acts. We've not left it, right? And the church is still continuing on. And he said in the Old Testament, he said, I'll bring the former and the latter rain together. That's an awesome thing. But he says, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit's what Sandy was talking about, that he would manifest himself. Like Johnny, reveal himself. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to what? Profit withal. He says, for to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, or by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith. Now, you stop, let me stop here for a second. This is not the kind of faith that every born-again believer has. You understand that? We get that when we get born again. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead comes in us. We have the faith of God. This here is the faith of God to do a supernatural work. It's not something that you can put the word in and do yourself. It's a gift. He goes on here. He says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, and that should be plural right there when you study that out. It shouldn't just be gifts of healing. It should say gifts of healings. Sammy knows there's all types of healings. He goes on and he says, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles. Glory to God. To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all to drink into that one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but it is many. It's going to take every one of us to do the will of God and accomplish His will. Every one of us in this part of the body, and also our laborers, right? We have them, don't we? We asked Him. We know we prayed according to His will. Therefore, we don't have to see it. We don't have to feel it. Why? We believe it. Therefore, we do what? Thank you, Lord. If I say, Samantha, hand me the spoon, she gives me, my good manners would say, thank you, Samantha, for the spoon. So every day I say, thank you, Lord, for our labors. In abundance, to the full, more than enough. We got them waiting in line to do Sunday school. We got them waiting in line to do children's church. Right? Yeah. That's what I'm believing for. I believe that's what the Spirit of God wants. But I would like it if you would, and I believe the Lord wants to, trying to get a little bit ahead of myself here. Every one of us in this room has some kind of issue. Y'all quiet. Well, you think I'm going to say issue? No, I'm not going to say yours because I'm not going to say mine. I got my own issues. Problems, sins, issues, whatever you want to call them or that they may be. Every one of us in this room. Anybody sick in your body today, you got any kind of symptoms in your body of sickness? That was a question. You don't? Praise God. I do. So what do? You ask people that, they tell you they're sick or whatever, or symptoms attacking them or something like that, and you say, well, what's the word say about it? Well, I don't really know. That's your problem number one. Right? Let's look. I ain't got this, Beth. Don't worry about it. They should have their Bible. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. I read this almost every day, and I don't just read it, I declare it. Because y'all remember the parable, right, that we was on for 7 or 8 months? Matthew 13, Luke 8, Mark 4. What is this word according to the Scriptures? Seed. If you want to harvest, what you got to do? Plant a seed or a crop if you wanted a bunch of it. So you got sickness in your body? Look here at Proverbs 4:20. He says, this is the Amplified Version. He says, let my son attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. He says, let them not depart from your sight. That means you're going to have to be seeing them every day, right? See them with your eyes. Do you understand your memory can forget and change things a little bit over a period of time? He says, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. How are you going to do that? You're going to meditate them. You cannot keep them in the middle of your heart if you're not meditating them. He goes on and he says, why? They are life to you. Sickness and disease is bringing death to you. Right? The Word of God will bring life. He says, for they are life unto those who find them. So it ain't to everybody. He said, if you seek, you'll find, right? He says, they are life to those who find them. Notice, healing and health to all their flesh. This is not a spiritual scripture, right? He says the word flesh. So he's talking about my physical body, my inner, my organs, my bones, my blood, my everything, right? My flesh. He says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Why you got to guard your heart? I'm going to tell you a little thing here. The gates to you is your ears and your eyes. Why? Because according to Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8, your heart is like a garden. right? We don't have to go back over that. But your heart is like a garden, and the Word of God is seed. Well, the Word of God is not the only thing that's seed. The words of the enemy are seed. And if you ain't careful, and if you ain't watchful, if you ain't vigilant to guard your heart, things slip in on you that you're not even aware of. I was having a problem with a person. Don't know why I was having a problem. I know something had to get in my heart. But I am not, to this day, I'm not aware of how it got in there or when it got in there. But it got so bad to, I mean, I felt awful. I would cry and I'd say, God, please, you got to help me. I don't want to feel this way. I mean, it's like they would walk in the room and I would just cringe. I could not stand to be around this person. And I would pray and I would cry and I'd fast and I'd say, God, you got to help me. I don't want to be this way. But it doesn't matter that I didn't want to be that way. Somehow or another, I did not guard my heart against offense or hatred or anger or something. And a seed got in there. And that seed got in there and it started growing. And I didn't know it was growing. But it growed up and it brought me a full-blown harvest to the point to where I saw that person. And I'm telling you, I could not stand them. I felt like if they died, it would not bother me at all. And so during this time, do y'all remember the story that God was being my therapist about my decision toward my husband, about that two roads, you know, I was supposed to have submitted, and I'm like, I did not. Y'all remember that story, right? Well, during the time that God was being my therapist during all that time, or the Bible calls him the counselor, I would call him the therapist, you know, during that time or whatever, that came out. Why? Because God, what do you do with a therapist? You go lay on their couch and you tell them all the things that's going on, right? And they help you come to the conclusion of why this is there and all that stuff, right? And whenever this was going on at the time, at one point I could see it in my spirit, myself. And it was like God was peeling me like an onion. I could see an onion and I could see it being peeled. And I knew that onion was me. Oh, and it felt so good. Well, when my therapy got over, after a few weeks, I saw myself. It was me, and in my spirit, I saw a rose, and that rose was a bud, and it was just beginning to open. That's why he says, guard your heart. Because you don't want anything getting in there unaware. How many knows if you're on guard, you're not unaware? The Bible says, Jesus himself said, if you knew the thief was coming, you'd be watching, wouldn't you? That's why he says, watch, guard. Be vigilant to guard your heart, because anything that gets in your heart is going to grow. But on the same side, God's saying, fill it with my word. There's not a person right now in this room or listening to me by way of internet that if you're sick can't be healed. There's not a person in this room right now that if you're broke you can't become wealthy. I got less amens on that. There's not a person in this room, if you're flat broke, that you cannot become wealthy. I'm talking according to the Word, right? The Bible says, I believe it's over there, 1 Corinthians 8, somewhere around in there. It said, Jesus himself took upon him poverty. Poverty's like, right? It's broke. Why? So that you might be made rich. He don't make you that way, but if you'll follow him, put his word in, do what he says, let it grow, act on it, you will become rich. See, the church has been taught for a long time that that's a bad word, that we're not supposed to be rich. Which if I was the devil, I would do it too. Why? You can't do a whole lot without money. That is the currency of this modern world. You can't do much in the kingdom or anything in the kingdom of God without faith. Why? Faith is the currency of the kingdom. It activates the grace, and the grace of God and the goodness of God has already supplied everything that we need, right? Well, if you're going to be healed, you better be putting in healing seed. See, this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is where I'd rather just have a miracle. Can I just believe for a miracle? Sure, you can believe for a miracle. People in the Bible did it, but a lot of places where it said their faith made them whole, they heard and they acted. They didn't just sit on the couch saying, God, give me a miracle. God, I'm believing you for a miracle. A lot of times you don't get a miracle. A lot of times you got to put the word in, let the seed grow in the Spirit of God, and bam. That's just like a great thing for God to instantly deliver alcoholics or drug addicts. Amazing, wonderful thing, power of God. But do you realize it's also a wonderful thing in the power of God when you take God's word as seed and you plant it in your heart and you speak it out your mouth and your life begins to change a little bit over time? Because see, a miracle, you don't got to have your mind renewed. Bam, God just done it. His mercy and His grace and His goodness just done it. But if you're going to walk this out, you got to abide by the word. You got to renew your mind. Revelation comes when you renew your mind, right? And the Holy Spirit, He illuminates that word. But He says there, He says, guard your heart. But remember the beginning says, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. So if I was you, if I got any kind of sickness or disease or problem in my body, I would go home and I would get this book of seed and I would start writing down my seeds that I feel led of the Lord to write down. And then I would begin to say them and to read them and decree them and declare them and meditate on them. And I guarantee you, it wouldn't be long. You come back in the next service or two or whatever and say, Johnny, say, anybody got a testimony? And you can't stop them, Johnny. They're just popping up like popcorn. Woo, I'm telling you, God did this for me. I'm telling you, I was sick and I'm healed. I was broke, glory to God, and I helped somebody buy their groceries now. If you're going to fly, that's how you're going to do it. Because, and when I say fly, just like this, well, let me read my next scripture. I'm trying to get ahead of myself here. Romans 10:17, faith comes how? By hearing. But also fear comes by hearing. That's why you got to guard your heart, because the devil in this world's always talking. Let's see, where is that scripture? Oh, there it is. Excuse me. 2 Timothy 1. Very familiar scripture. We probably all in here could quote it. That's why you get in trouble sometimes, though. Because you can quote it, don't mean nothing. 2 Aiden can quote you Mark 6, the Lord's Prayer, backwards and forwards. But he don't have a lot of insight into it yet. It's when you get insight, when you get revelation, when the Holy Spirit illuminates or quickens that word to you, it becomes alive to you. It's alive all the time. But at that time, it comes alive to you. But in 2 Timothy, wasn't it? Yeah, 2 Timothy 1. I'm in 3. That's why it don't look right. Let's see. I think I'm going to read this in the Amplified. I didn't have it specified on there, did I, Beth? Which it don't matter. I mean, gosh, what did we do before we got this screen? Some things, I mean, technology, I don't know if it helps us or it hurts us and makes us lazy. But anyway, y'all say quit meddling with that, huh? Verse 6. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking to Timothy. We know Timothy has been with him for a long time. He's a young man, and Paul's going to set him over a church later. But here in verse 6, he says, that is why I remind you to stir up. Some of us need to stir up. He says, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. King James says fear. This here says timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. But He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. But notice there, he said, God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, of cowardice. We just got through reading the book of Revelations. Remember, we're in Matthew now and are reading every day. Y'all remember the last chapter of that, what he said, ain't getting in? Y'all don't remember? When you read, I think it's 22. Anyway, it's the last chapter, the last part of that chapter there. He says, no murderer, no coward. Cowards are in the same category of God with murderers. Let me just, y'all don't want y'all to believe what I'm saying. Let me just turn over here. I'm going to read it to you myself. Y'all going to come back next Sunday, ain't you? Well, if we don't get it all today, we'll get on it then too. I'm sorry? Verse 8. Thank you, Johnny. I didn't have to hunt it there. He says, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. That ain't it, is it? Oh, it's 21. I was thinking it was 22. Or I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm sorry. Verse 8. Yeah. I'll just read verse 7. It says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful. Y'all didn't know God hated this so bad, did you? It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So, somebody that's faithless, unbelieving, coward, timid, you are in the same class as whoremongers, idolaters. Woo, we're getting quiet now. See, we don't hear this stuff about God. We live in a day and age that the last few years, a grace of God that is not proper, that is false doctrine, has been taught to a lot of the church. To the point to where now you got a lot of people, they can't hear sound doctrine. If it's any kind of discipline, oh, God wouldn't do that. You have not read the Bible. He would discipline them from the beginning to the end because he is a wonderful, the best father there ever has been or ever will be. And he says he does what? I chastise, that word means discipline, those that I love. So sometimes I think, this don't feel good, God, but thank you that you love me. Right? But let's go back over there to 2 Timothy 1. I should have held my place there. We're going to read verse 7 again in the Amplified. He says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity. King James says fear, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power. Did you hear that? Power. He says, and of love, and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. You've got Christians nowadays, they won't confront nothing. Just nothing. Whoo, we could hear a pin drop now. Now, I'm not saying, I know the Bible says we are to be the peacemakers. Right? That means you don't just in yourself just run out there and start confronting anything and everybody. But you got Christians today that people will blaspheme, talk about our God, say things about our Christ all over Facebook, and us little peaceful Christians just go right on past it. Don't ever say nothing. Why, we don't want to stir the pot, you know. We're called to be peace. And the world is trying to convince us, oh, if you say or do anything against what we're saying or doing, you got to walk in the love of God. Yes, I do, but him first. See, when you talk about my husband, you're going to get me stirred up. I just might punch you in your mouth. I'm serious. I better be prayed up on that day. Why? I love that man. Now, I'm not just blowing hot air. I've been put to the test on this. He was something else. And, more than once we've had people come to our house. Three or four guys going, whoop him. And, he's dynamite, but, he's 5'6". I'm 5'5". He's 5'6". And, what's he going to do against three or four guys? So I go in there and I get the shotgun and I come out and we're about to clean the house. I love him. Ain't nobody going to talk about him. Ain't nobody going to hurt him. Ain't nobody going to come against him without me being in there with him. Never have, never will, and it's even greater than that to me with my God. I don't see where Elijah was trying to make peace with the prophets of Baal. He was confronting them on every hand, and he went so far as to say, okay, let's do this. Let's just have a friendly wager here. He says, okay, you do your thing, you go cut yourself, you get your wood, you do all your stuff and everything. He said, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. So they got out there, they did their dance, chanting whatever else they did, and cut themselves and bleeding all over the place and all of that. Then he does what? He begins to mock them. See, we don't hear this stuff much. He begins to mock them. Well, some translations say maybe your God's on the toilet. You know, maybe he's kind of busy. You know, maybe that's why he's not answering. I mean, he's mocking them. Where is your God that you say you have? Then we know the story. He goes over there. He tells them, okay, let's just make it a little even greater wager. Fill all of this with water. Put water on all of the wood. Fill up the trench. Fill it up with water. I don't know how deep the trench was. Fill it up with water and all of that. And then said, let me call on the name of my God. What happened? He called on his God. Why? He believed him. He knew. He was fully persuaded on the inside that my God is the God and the only true and living God. And I will help pray and he will answer. A lot of Christians today, they don't do that because they don't know him. They don't know if he'll answer or not. How come they don't know? Don't know the word. Ain't spent enough time with him to let him show you. When Abraham, he was believing God for his son, right? Y'all remember the story? Through Isaac, all these promises is going to be. Jesus was going to come through Isaac, right? The promised child was going to come through that lineage. But then God tells him all that. I'm going to make your children and your descendants like the sands of the sea. I mean, sand on the seashore, the stars in the sky, right? He said, okay, kill him. Are you kidding me? You just promised me that all of that was going to be through my seed, through my son, Isaac. God said, kill him. A lot of us would have been taking our kid and running and hiding. Not Abraham. He knew God. He had a covenant with God. Do you understand, men? You have a covenant with God. And that God will not ever break covenant with anybody. We can break it with him, but he never breaks it with us. It's everything to him. His word is above all. Well, y'all know the story, right? He goes on and he tells them, you know, get the wood ready and all that. And he puts the wood on them and says, you know, his servants, you know, stay here. He says, we're going to come back. Now I'm paraphrasing. Don't he say it? We're going to come back. Me and the lads going to go up here and worship and we'll come back. That's faith in action. He ain't laying on the couch. He's put the wood on the little boy or the teenage boy, however old he was. And he says, we're going up here to worship the Lord and we will come back. The Bible says in the New Testament that Abraham received Isaac back from the dead. Well, according to Abraham, he's going to fly. My son's going to live. That's what I mean by fly, right? I believe God. God said this and I believe him. Therefore, it will happen. I don't make it happen. God said it. I believe it and he does it. So they went on the top of the mountain, you know the story, binds the kid up and everything, gets all the sacrifice ready, takes the knife, and he's got it up there ready to stab him. I mean, he's going to the razor-thin hair to kill this boy. All the while in his heart, I can just hear him now. God, you said, and I believe it. I don't know how you're going to do it, and I don't care, but I know you're faithful. You said it, I believe it. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up. Right? Tells him, don't do it. And then there was what? That's where he learned that God was El Shaddai. My provider. God already had all that worked out before he ever even got to the top of that mountain. But had he not stayed in faith, had he not took him up there to sacrifice him, he would not be in the book. See, God trusted him. It ain't just about us trusting God. God trusts us too. God had to trust Abraham that you will do exactly what I have said. Therefore, what I have said will be exactly the way I said it. Why? He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning from the end. End from the beginning. Right? He knows all in between all and all that and done played the tape. He knew Abraham would. But just because God knows you will don't mean that you're gonna not going to do it. What I mean by that is he's still going to give you the opportunity to do it, to believe him. God knew all the time that he would, but he had to go through it and do it. Faith without works or actions dead. So we got a lot of so-called believing Christians, and I have been in the bunch too, and I've still got some things right now. I told Scotty on the way over here. There's some that I have flew about some things, and there's some things I'm going to have to get to flying about. Why? Because anywhere that I don't have the victory, I'm walking in it, Right now, I'm not believing. Because even while you're believing, you got the victory and you know it, and that what causes the joy and the peace, right? Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured that cross. He was having to go through that, but the Bible says he's not looking at that. He's looking at what it's going to bring after he goes to the cross. Why? That's what God had promised. But he says there, he says, coward. Even before I got saved, I don't like coward. But now the world has a pride thing that you wouldn't be a coward. You know, somebody was saying, well, I'm not even going to say that. Anyway, we cannot be cowards. We can't be afraid to confront things. Now, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But now, there's certain things, if there's a spirit coming through you, we're not having that. Right? I'm going to confront that. If there's certain things God says he hates, I'm sorry. If it hair lips the world, I have to hate it too. And I have to be against it. I cannot go along with it, even if I'm in it. And listen, just because I'm in something don't mean I'm not coming out. Because none of us are fully perfected yet. We're all coming out of something. Supposed to be at all times, right? So we cannot be cowards. How can you help from not being a coward? Get full of faith and get full of the love of God. Why? Faith works by love. You can't just have faith, 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 faith. No, faith works by love, right? Love won't let you break any of the commands. If I love my neighbor, I won't kill him. If I love my neighbor, I don't steal from him. If I love my neighbor, I don't run off with their husband, right? So that love keeps me there. And that faith is energized by that love. What the thing I'm supposed to do, I'm supposed to be motivated by faith in the love of God. Not my will, not my emotions, not how things look, right? We walk and we live by faith, the just. Well, we are the just because we've been made that way. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, made that way. Not because we're so good, we was made that way because he's so good, amen? So we cannot be cowards. You're going to have to get the Word of God, just like Mark 4 said, and you're going to have to, good grief, we got nowhere on this. You're going to have to use it as seed, and if you want to harvest, you're going to have to plant your crop. I don't care what it is. If it's something about your mind, get the Scriptures on the mind. The Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind, right? Prepare them for action. Be ready for battle. The Bible says he's given us a sound mind, right? If you got tormenting thoughts coming to you, according to, I believe it's 1 John 4:18, the Bible says that the love of God cast out fear. Well, it means mature love. We grow and we develop in that love. But mature love cast out fear. And then the Word of God, when you get it in there, is going to bring faith. So I would ask you to start believing God for every service that you come to here. God, you're here and you're going to move. Well, I don't feel it. I don't care what you feel. People of faith don't matter how they feel. Smith Wigglesworth, he said, I never ask myself how I feel because it doesn't matter. So I would encourage every one of you to believe God every time you come, I don't care what service, tonight to the prayer and praise. God, you're going to move. You're here. You said if two or three are gathered together in your name, and we are, Lord, that you would be in the midst. Lord, use me, God. I'm not looking for you to use somebody else. Use them if you want to, God. But do like Isaiah. Here I am, God, use me. And I guarantee you, you would be the least of the least that we would pick for God to use you. But you'd be the very one that God would use to do great and mighty things, right? I got to stop because our time is up.